Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Now, Fáilte Raisce Arís, he is the most successful hurling captain in GAA history. In 2018, he lifted the Lee McCarthy and it ended this county's 45-year wait for an All-Ireland. Ah, oh, we love an out clip here. Will we give us an out clip? Where's my... I mean, my clip is actually... Oh, I've lost... Oh, no, I have it. I have it.
Referee blows the full time whistle! Limerick are the All-Ireland champions! 2018! Galway have been stopped at the very end, right at the wire! The banks of the Shannon are overflowing! Dolores O'Riordan of the Cranberries, one of my favourite artists, wherever you are now, you must be smiling. Your county has produced one of the sensational championship journeys of all time.
Oh my God, I'm excited all over again. He's a low-key fella enough now, so we're delighted to welcome Declan Hannan. Good morning, how are you doing?
Good morning. I'm very good, Alvin, yourself?
You announced, it was only 3 weeks ago, isn't it?
Yeah, that 3 or 4 weeks at this stage, no, yeah.
Decided retiring to finish up, yeah. The Limerick Anzie, you'll still play away for the club, I presume.
Still play away for the club at area, but for Limerick, the dream's over.
What age are you?
32, 33 November. The end of this month, sorry. Yeah.
Very young to be retiring
yeah,
from the game.
If you say so. It's maybe, but it takes a lot out of your body, I suppose, playing for a number of years and time commitments and things like that. So I was lucky enough to be a bit successful anyway over the years.
Yeah, small bit of success there. Was it hard to walk away? Did you make that decision throughout the year or did it take a while?
It didn't take a while, to be honest. It was, I suppose, life outside of hurling got quite busy over the last number of years. I was working and living between Limerick and Dublin. That doesn't lend itself to being able to really commit fully to the intercounty scene. So when you look at it that way, it was quite an easy decision. I'll miss it, of course. I'll miss the crack with all the lads.
But your whole life is kind of like built around it, isn't it, for years upon years?
Oh, massively. Like your schedule is dictated by when training is on, when matches are on. But that was great, sure. I loved that. It was fantastic. It kept us on the straight and narrow, kept us out of trouble. But yeah, it'll be a change. I'll have a lot more free time now, so I'm looking for new and exciting opportunities and hobbies, I suppose, to take up.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Are you ready for it? 15 years as an intercounty hurler, so that also indicates how young you started. 5 All-Irelands, 2 league titles, 7 years as captain. It's just incredible. You were spotted chatting to Louise Duffy, our colleague outside, who knows a thing or two about following
she
intercounty players. She's married
Paul
to Paul Galvin.
Yeah, yeah.
Any advice coming from that quarters?
She said, go back playing.
Did she really?
No, she said, just enjoy it. It's the free time you'll have, I suppose, is the biggest change that'll be. You know, you're... So there were times you'd leave for work at 7 or 7:30 in the morning, you mightn't get back till 10 or 11 that night, you know, and you know, that's tough. But as I said, I loved it. It was fantastic, and for my family and friends, the journey today went on as well. It was amazing.
Are you ready for the adjustment? Because have you planned it? Did you do anything to prepare?
I didn't. Like, I think the GAA scene is funny because obviously it's an amateur organisation. We work, you know, Monday to Friday. It's not a case that we were professional athletes and now we don't have anything to do from Monday to Friday, whereas I changed job recently. I want to give that the time it needs. So, you know, it's more the evenings or the weekends now that are free that I can plan exciting things.
And you're in recruitment?
Yeah. So I started in a new gig with Adair Global Personnel Solutions. Started there just over a month ago, myself and Richie. There's 2 of us. So like that, you need to be able to give that time. You need to give that energy for it to grow. And yeah, very much looking forward to getting stuck into that as well.
I can see how you'd be good at that job. It's basically spotting talent, matching them with the right place and so on. Is that what
Exactly. Like, and it's a difficult game. You know, there's a lot of demands from companies out there trying to find the right people, but look, so far so good, and we're enjoying it, which is part of it as well.
There's just so many highs in your career. I presume the clip we played, 2018, first All-Ireland, I mean, obviously not in your memory at all, Limerick winning an All-Ireland because it was 45 years.
Exactly, yeah.
Is that when you thought of the day when you kind of made the call, rang around your friends, told the manager, everybody that you were leaving, was that foremost in your mind as your kind of highlight in your head?
Yes, it probably was. I mean, it was 45 years since Limerick won the All-Ireland. You know, had a couple of near misses in the 90s. But yeah, 2018 was amazing. Even listening to Marty doing the commentary there is emotional, I suppose. It was unexpected, I suppose, in Limerick, because, you know, we were probably looked down on for a lot of years. And, you know, that's fair enough because we hadn't been winning matches, not alone All-Irelands.
Looked down from the other superpowers of hurling,
I suppose, and fair enough, like, we hadn't been competitive enough to, I suppose, command the respect that now Limerick has, I'd say. But after 2018, the homecomings and the outpouring of just emotion, and especially from the older generation, I think, to see them, how happy they were, because they went through a lot of bad years with Limerick as well.
Oh, people were in tears that day, weren't
they? They were in tears, yeah, and it was fabulous to see it. The colour around Limerick, it just gave the city and county a boost, I think, even confidence-wise. Because we were probably painted in a different picture years ago than what we are now.
That's right.
So to be a part of that, it was amazing, and to uplift the county and give a positive news story to Limerick was amazing.
It was kind of, in hindsight, almost like a sudden build to Limerick to become such a powerhouse in hurling. Mm. But did you know in your heart and soul, as the captain, as the skipper, that was going to be the year?
Sure, you hope every year is the year. Like, but sport is competitive; it's not always just going to happen. But John Kiley, as manager, was fantastic. He came in 2017, and as I said, talking about confidence, he brought a confidence to us and a belief that maybe wasn't there in the years gone by. And to have him as our leader and our inspiration, I suppose, he's a fantastic man, and what he's done for all of us is, you know, amazing. It's not been done before, and you can't thank him enough either, what he's done for me.
What was so different about him?
I think just he commanded the room so well when he came in speaking to us initially, and he gave us this belief that, as I said, maybe wasn't there before. It might have been there in snippets, but long term, John just gave us inspiration every time he spoke. It's like in the dressing room at halftime of games, when he's there, you take a calmness from it, but also a huge belief that, you know, we're on the right track here. And he could probably say anything at all and we'll just believe it and we'll go with it. Really? You know, that kind of way. He's just, that's the kind of character he is. And what he's done for Limerick, sure, it's turned the place upside down.
What did he tell you about the qualities or what you had to do to be a leader in your position?
Nothing. Like, I mean, he's very much puts the emphasis on you being the person you are. Like, he's not coming in to change us as people, but he's given us the tools to be the best person you can be, I suppose. And our coach, Paul Kinnerk, and we had a sports psychologist, performance coach, Caroline Curd, as well, played huge roles in my career. But I think John just, he wanted us to be who we were, like, and not try to be anybody else. And luckily for us, it worked out really, really well.
The kind of great Bannisters, you hear people saying they're just excellent at stripping any ego out of the dressing room. I presume he did that.
He did, like, and to be fair, none of the Limerick lads have any egos at all. Like, they're a very modest bunch of lads. They want to sit down the back of whatever function might be on and keep the head down and just work hard. And, you know, it's a real family-knit unit there, and we support each other when things are going well and when things aren't going well. And, you know, that's, I suppose, one part I'll definitely miss is that camaraderie with, I suppose, your best buddies, really. You know, these are lads you meet 5 times a week, and now you might meet them sporadically at the shop or over Christmas having a pint or something like that. So, I'll probably find that side of it the hardest.
Particularly being captain, because there would be an extra responsibility on you, wasn't there? You had to do the same level of training everybody else. But did you have to kind of check in on people individually and so on as well? That would have taken a lot of time.
Yeah, of course. But it just kind of, it was a natural thing that, I suppose, I'd like to think I'm a person that lads could confide in or they could trust with, you know, maybe they're having issues off the field or whatever it may be, and they could talk to me about it.
And they would do that?
Yeah, of course. Like, but I would do that as well back to them. It was very much it worked both ways, like. Yeah. But yeah, I suppose you wanted to be there for them when things weren't going well, because I suppose I'd have gained plenty of experience when things weren't going exactly to plan on the field or off the field like that. So, you know, to be a shoulder for them to not cry on, but to lean on, I suppose, was something I was conscious of. And I just wanted to be there for them as much as I possibly could.
It sounds like you were doing the thing that we're trying to encourage men to do all the time, which is talk to each other about what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, I suppose, but like, it's not the easiest thing to do either.
No.
And we definitely had difficult conversations throughout the years. But I think for us, especially in a team environment, it makes the group a lot stronger if you have that trust. But that comes from being honest, I suppose, and, you know, letting your guard down, I suppose. And like, we're not all macho men going around the place or anything like that. It's it can be very difficult and emotionally draining at times. So you do need support of your peers to perform well then when it comes down to it.
Was that an important ingredient to all the success, do you think? Just being close, chatting to each other about the
issue? Absolutely. As I said, we're probably the best of buddies off the field. We probably are in touch every day of the week. Like, they're the lads you talk to most about everything and anything. They're like a second family, 100%. You spend more time with them than you do with your actual family, which is mad. But it definitely, how close you are definitely helped along the way now.
You've been a captain since you were in school playing hurling.
Yeah, I suppose I have been. Yeah,
is it because you're kind of a giant? Is that why you were always selected?
Well, yeah, maybe in primary school, maybe they said give it to the tall fella there, see how he gets on.
But you have a very understated kind of leadership quality. We don't see, haven't heard many interviews from you over the years. Obviously, have the kind of A type leadership personality required because you've got this record as the most successful hurling captain ever. Are you able to kind of talk about yourself and what qualities you would have needed to have that job?
No, like I haven't really thought about it. It was never a thing I went home and wrote down a load of points that I wanted to now portray or anything like that. Like going back to my point about just being the person you are, was probably the most important thing to me. Like I'm not a person to be going into a dressing room roaring and bawling and giving out and I need to carry on. It's not in my nature.
Yeah.
And if I was to do that, the lads would see through that straight away. You know, and they'd only be kind of laughing and saying, what's wrong with your men like today? That's not his character at all. So I suppose I want to just be true to myself, be true to my character, and I am quite shy and understated. I don't like being, you know, front and centre of anything, to be honest with you. Even doing this today, I find it's quite nerve-wracking. I'd rather play in front of 82,000 people in Pro Park. You know, but I think, again, just I was just trying to be myself, and that's how it came across.
It shows that confidence can have different kind of forms. It doesn't necessarily mean you're the most comfortable person standing up in the room.
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah, often you'd probably find that I've been at different functions throughout the years, and the quiet person's often demanded with the most power or something like that. So I suppose I'd have seen throughout the years as well different characters, not in Limerick, but in all walks of life, in business and in sport, that, you know, a person can be really loud and outgoing, but at the end of the day, there's a massive substance behind it. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it's true. As a result of being the hurling captain for so long, you had to do those big All-Ireland speeches a couple of times. Do you remember the first one?
I do, like, I sat down with John Kiley, I think 2 weeks previous, just to write down.
Yeah.
You'd want to, because you want to thank, you don't want to leave anybody out.
But you're also tempting fate, aren't you? You're kind of writing a speech.
Yeah, maybe, but I think it's just, I remember Owen Kelly from Tipperary, I saw him do an interview and he said that he had it done 3 weeks out before the All-Ireland final, just to get it out of the way. The last thing
don't
you want to be doing
it,
is waking up the morning of an All-Ireland final thinking, well, I remember to thank Oliver now and all the lads or the background team, whatever, so just to tick that off. And John was brilliant again, like, only for him, I don't know where I'd be. But yeah, I suppose it was daunting enough in 2018. I actually ran into the dressing room after the match just to kind of calm down a small bit. And,
oh, did you? And then come back again?
Yeah, because, you know, people kind of run over to you straight away and say, get up the steps there as quickly as possible. And I just kind of said, I better take a minute here.
You went on your own?
Yeah, just went in, and Ray McManus from Sportswell actually followed me in. So there's a random photo I have it at home, just sitting in the dressing room a few minutes after the All-Ireland final, but nobody else there. Like,
go away.
Yeah. I don't know why I did it. It just came to my head, but I'm glad I did it, just to settle things down a small and then go up the steps. And I suppose you're representing the group and you're representing your family. You don't want to make a hams of it anyway.
What were you thinking about?
I was just thinking about, don't mess it up. Like, you know, because it was so long, the Limerick, John won the All-Ireland. I wanted to make sure I thanked the right people and come across in a way that people of Limerick will be proud of as well. So that was probably the main thoughts going through my head.
Did you ever watch it back, the speech?
I didn't, because I heard it went on for about a half an hour, so I didn't have time.
We don't have time for half an hour. But even things,
oh God.
I'll give people a minute here, and I think it's worth tuning into it.
Okay.
Ulteron coming to Ulteron Square. Winter in the Galapagos, winter in the league. Tall episode, a currently to all the Limerick supporters here today. To those at home listening in, to those far and wide tuned in on the radio and on television, lads, you're phenomenal. You don't want for anything, and you turn out day in, day out for the last number of years. And we can't wait to bring Lee McCarthy home to celebrate with you.
There's a fair tick Limerick accent there now.
Listen to yourself.
Oh God, yeah.
You're emotional listening back to that.
Yeah, sure. I suppose it's when you finish up playing, like, that'll never happen again. So, yeah, good times anyway.
Been captain multiple times over those years. I mean, did it sort of feel, here we go again?
No, definitely not. No, it was, Asher had the time of my life playing, and you know, to have been given that job, I suppose, from John to captain the team was the privilege of my life. And I suppose it's funny when you're looking back on the highs and lows. 2020 was an interesting one, I think, from our point of view. We got to, I suppose, we were able to go train and we were able to meet each other and we were able to play games when the whole country was, you know, locked down. The restrictions were lifted a small bit, but you know, I suppose particularly that year and 20 and 21, my club at Ayr, we lost a number of really amazing people, neighbours, you know, throughout the COVID times. So yeah, I think that made it a bit special as well, being able to go out and do something for those families that maybe they could, you know, take their minds off the reality of life and what they were going through, and to maybe give them something to celebrate or smile about for a few hours.
Because that was 2018, and of course 2019 didn't happen for you, but 2020 in an empty stadium.
Empty stadium, yeah. It's funny, yeah. It is a polar opposite. I mean, 2018, obviously there was 82 or 3,000 people there. Then 2020, not a sinner in the stand. So, but there was something kind of beautiful about that as well, because it was just our group. It was just our team and management that were in the stadium, the same lads that you went training in Rathkeel with for the previous 3 or 4 months. And to be there in an empty stadium with Liam McCarthy Cup in the middle of the pitch, I was looking at a photo the other day. Very strange, but very special as well, to be able to do that during 2020, during the lockdown. So it gave us a real purpose, I suppose, throughout that time as well.
And then it was just back-to-back 4 years in a row.
Yeah, it was kind of relentless from then on, which is fantastic. I mean, it was, especially for Limerick, I suppose, it was something we would never have dreamed of. But I know it's a cliche, it was just kind of taking each year as it comes and taking each game as it comes. And I know it's so boring to say that, but that's just the way it is. Like,
but it sounds like that's how you won it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Stuck away the ego.
Yeah, 100%. It was just work hard, lads, get stuck in, support each other, and let's see where it takes us. And thankfully, it got us to Croke Park for those few years in a row.
Was it 2023 was the one you were injured and didn't play in the final?
Yeah, 23, missed the semi-final and final.
You had that beautiful moment though, didn't you? Because obviously you suddenly seemed to feel that you didn't want to go up on your own as captain.
Yeah, went up with Keane Lynch. It was funny, in 2022, Keane actually came up with me because he was injured in 2022.
Oh,
he missed
the
final.
Yeah.
And so it was weird the way it worked out. They were great old buddies. And it was actually, it was beautiful looking back on it that I was able to bring him up in 22 and then he was able to bring me up in 23. Of course, we'd all love to be playing all the time, but injuries are part of sport as well.
And those championships were, you know, constant coverage of whether you were going to be fit, either of you,
yeah,
in those two championships.
Yeah.
That must be do your head in.
It doesn't really. I suppose we were probably taking the spotlight off the rest of the team then. It was fine. I suppose we knew in the back of our minds we probably weren't going to be playing. So you can talk away about the injuries and let the lads go off and do what they need to do. So, yeah, really cool moments, I suppose, to have been able to do it. It was, you know, weird as well.
It was weird. Do you kind of pick one of those four in a row, or do you look back now and go, the five in a row was really the goal, or was it the goal?
I wasn't sure starting off. I mean, it was trying to win a few games with Limerick initially, and then you know, and seeing where that took us. I mean, from I started in 2011, it took us a long time to win a couple of games on the trot or anything like that. So it was never the goal to win five in a row. It was, yeah, obviously, once you got to four in a row, all the talk then turned to that.
It's a hoodoo all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, but it never really weighed on us, I don't think.
No,
it didn't. We spoke about it all right, but it was never like, you can't just decide to start a year we're going to win five in a row here and forget about the actual journey to get there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we didn't get there. We won the Munster Championship in 2024, then got to the All-Ireland semi-final. You know, you were 2 games away from maybe doing something that's never happened before, but ultimately Cork beat us on the day, and they were, you know, they were deserved winners on that day as well.
And ever since, of course, you've been sort of hit by injuries, haven't you?
Yeah, a couple of injuries last year. No, that wasn't ideal, but, you know, I was lucky enough and throughout my career that I got to play most years. So maybe it's just getting older and travel, everything like that, just doesn't help in terms of steering clear of injuries. So again, that's part and parcel of sport.
You were grand with it then, by the sense of it. You weren't kind of devastated, because a lot of players are very down when they're suddenly not at the top flight.
No, it was tough, all right. Like, I mean, you're going to train and not being able to train. You're trying to do your own bits of rehab on the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, but in Limerick, I think I've seen that from a lot of players. A lot of our lads, unfortunately, did their cruciate injuries throughout the years, and that's a 9-month recovery time nearly. So I've seen them do it, and you know, looked at them for inspiration. I said, geez, if they can do that, my injury isn't half as bad as them, so just get on with it. Like, you know, don't be looking for any sympathy.
Everything had to be kind of looked in a measured way the whole time.
100%.
Tell us about the day you got a call to be an intercounty player for the first time. What was going on in your life at the time? You were still in school.
Yeah, I was doing the leaving cert in Art School Reach, and Donald O'Grady from Cork was brought in as the manager in 2011. So he called. There was trials on, and I'd say Mum and Dad were kind of saying, well, maybe wait till next year, get through the old leave and certainty then. But I went anyway and got onto the panel. It was funny, the first round of the Munster Championship was against Waterford, and I wasn't on the panel because I was doing the Irish Paper 1 or whatever the next day. So I was sitting at home watching the Munster Championship, trying to study for the Irish exam the next day. So funny looking back, but I wouldn't change anything for the world. I was delighted to get the foot in the door and see where it would take you.
I mean, that would, even just getting the Limerick jersey would have been a boyhood dream, and everything that came after, you could hardly even.
And I remember in primary school, they used to do this thing with juniors and seniors would play a little All-Ireland final between each other on a Friday near the end of the year, and right, all the parents would come in and watch, and we used to have the Airtime Boys band kind of a thing walking around. So even from then, you were just, I suppose, couldn't wait to hopefully get to do that in Croke Park.
What's incredible about the story in Limerick is I know people, particularly in the noughties, when they were the Limerick hurling fans, were watching Munster have huge success and sort of thinking maybe that's sucking the talent away towards rugby. And there was kind of a fear that Limerick could never rise up. And then you've kind of, Munster went into a bit of doldrums when Limerick were rising. Now Munster are actually doing okay again, aren't they? And you've got Limerick flying it.
So,
there's extraordinary talent in that. I know the Munster doesn't cover, but it is tend to be Limerick based.
Yeah, Limerick's a real sporting city.
Incredible.
So everything, you know, see Treaty United and the soccer as well did really well this year. They were looking at to get promoted. But it's always been a sporting city. I remember going to Limerick games when we were small, Munster rugby games inside in the old Thomond Park. And just really passionate supporters, I think, that are in the city and the county that I suppose make us just really proud to be from Limerick. They're brilliant, and obsessed with it, I would say.
Obsessed.
Obsessed with sports. Yeah, they talked about hurling and rugby and football morning, noon and night, so they would if they could. But yeah, great city. Very, very proud to be from Limerick and represented them over the years.
When the days are good, obviously it's easy. Then there are some hard times. You missed a couple of frees, did you? What year was that when you had a particularly...
2013 All-Ireland semi-final.
Can go straight to it, 2013.
Yeah, I'll never forget it, sure.
Marked in your head.
Oh yeah, big time, yeah. It was, what was I, 20 or 21 maybe, I suppose. And first time Limerick got an All-Ireland semi-final in a while. And I suppose we were favourites for the game. It just didn't go well for me on the day. But the aftermath of that was quite difficult. I suppose you were young, didn't really know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. Got plenty of stick after it.
These are the obsessed fans of Limerick.
It was coming from all angles, but again, I suppose over the years, it's just part and parcel of it. I was so young that I didn't really understand it enough. Everyone looks at the good days, but we in Limerick, there was plenty of tough days along the road as well, which makes the wins a bit more sweeter, to have gone through all those difficult times. And Croke Park can make you feel really, really big, and it can also make you feel really, really small when things aren't going well.
There's loads of stuff going on in your life, but there's messages coming into us left, right and centre. We'll take a break, will we, out of the way? We'll take a break, Declan, and we'll be back after these. And you're very welcome back. The WhatsApp is 0870 32 32 32. We're here with Declan Hannan, and the messages are coming in for you, Declan. As a supporter, this person said, I want to thank you so much for all the work you've done for Limerick hurling on and off the field. Your contribution was immense. And as a fervent Limerick supporter, there's no other kind as you, I thank you heartily. We'll miss you on the field. I've goosebumps all over listening to the magnificent speech again, Some Man. It did sound like it was off the cuff, by the way, even though you've now told us you prepared it. As a Limerick supporter for over five decades, I'm proud and emotional listening to Declan and his acknowledgement of our own Galloway native, John Kiely, for his leadership as manager of the five times All-Ireland winning team. Keep up the good work. That's from John Barrett in Galloway. Limerick Caboo says that one. That's just a random one. Thank you so much for wonderful leadership. They're going on and on here. Limerick supporters are the best on earth. Some modesty.
100%.
That's not the modesty you're preaching.
Yeah, I paid that person earlier on to write that.
You're married now. Happily married to Louise Cantillon.
That's right, yeah. Married 2 years now and still going.
So but you've been going out since what? At what age?
Yeah, around 2011 as well, I suppose. Around 18 years after
school sweethearts.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So it's been a great, sure, it's been fantastic to have Louise, on this journey as well, and to share all those memories with her has been fantastic. And my own family, of course, and her and the in-laws. So we've had a great time. We were looking back, I suppose, in photos and videos over the last few years, our last weekend, and again, just great memories. And to be able to share them with someone, obviously my wife is brilliant.
And you're a bit of a power couple down that part of the world.
I don't know about that. I try to stay quiet. Louise tries to, you know, get front and centre, so maybe it works. Maybe it works well.
She's her radio show is obviously flying. She's got the podcast with the girls, How to Gale.
That's it. Yeah, they're flying it. They're guest women, but they're fantastic. It's excellent. I don't know if you've been on.
Yeah, I've been invited. Yeah,
have you? Yeah, we must get you on.
As an e-specialty.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, we must get you on the show or the podcast.
So. I thought Coachor was, but Darren Lachon, who's actually going to be chatting to us in the second hour.
All right, very good. Yeah,
yeah, no, okay.
Oh, best of luck.
And we'll go August, actually. You know.
I'll be gone in. Like, I mean, yeah. We were saying it last week about having the extra free time that I should take up something. So an Irish course next year, I think, is on the cards.
Seriously now?
Yeah, I'd love to. I can understand it, but like to converse, I'd be a bit slow on John trying to do it. So I think, you know, it'd be something I'd be interested in doing. And I want to be better at it, to be honest. I suppose I'm proud of the Irish language as well. And obviously Louise is heavily involved in it. So I'd like to be able to contribute a bit more on that side of things.
So that'd be one of the hobbies marked off.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm looking forward to giving that a go and just improving my Gaelic. Because we all have a small bit, I suppose. We're kind of nearly afraid to use it in case we make a mistake. But make a mistake, I spare it as well most times. So
Louise was supporting all the way when you had the big high profile job in Limerick. Mm. And now she's the public face of the couple of months. Yeah. Does that mean you're going to shrink a little bit out of the limelight?
That suits me fine. Like I'm happily just in the background, as I've said, and out of the way. And I'm 100% number one supporter of her gigs and her show and everything like that. So look, things are fantastic. We can't complain at all.
But they'd be crying out now for no-nonsense punditry.
Would they? Yeah. I don't know if I'd... I don't think it's on my agenda yet anyway.
You're not planning a media career in the...
I don't think so. Like, as I said, I like to keep quiet, like to keep out of the way, and the punditry and stuff kind of gets a lot of airtime. So I think I'll let that to the experts.
You could recruit, you could advise.
That's the job.
Tell us about it. Is an Irish company, a startup, is it?
Exactly, Adair Global Personal Solutions. It's a recruitment company based in Adair. And there's a separate part of it called Adair Careers as well, which is a separate platform that we're getting stuck into as well.
Is it yourself and another fella?
Richie O'Sullivan, just the two of us.
Is it just the two of you?
Just the two of us, yes. We're getting going now at the minute and trying to grow it as much as we can. Plenty of meetings and plenty of interesting work coming up along the over the next couple of months and years. So, look, fingers crossed it works out. I was with a different company for 9 years, so, you know, I had a great time there. It was a bit of a risk leaving, but I suppose I wanted maybe just give this a go and give that the energy and, you know, I've great motivation now to get stuck into that and make it a success.
Startup energy, that kind of thing is what you're doing.
That's it.
The hunger.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, I don't want it to be a failure anyway, that's for sure. So we're going to do everything we can to make it a success. So so far so good. It's just a month into it.
It'll is it across industries? That
across
you...
all industries, yeah. A lot of healthcare now, a lot of construction. So
really?
You know, we're there's a lot of excellent people out there in Ireland that are looking for work, and we're only too happy to help them and get them sorted as quickly as possible.
I don't know a huge amount about this world. So, I mean, how does it work? Do people sign up to a business and say, please get me a job? Or is the company coming to you saying, find me?
It works both ways. Like, there's people who get in touch who are looking for work, and there's companies in touch with us who are trying to fill, I suppose, difficult roles that they're struggling to fill themselves.
Right.
So I suppose we're there as a service to... You know, as a staffing solution service to find the right people for these roles. And there's, as I said, just excellent candidates out there. And, you know, I've been lucky enough over the years to meet a lot of these fantastic people who are, you know, really motivated and ready to help out in whatever industry it might be.
So sometimes they're looking for a new leader. And obviously you'll be able to spot the first.
Stay away from that. Stay, exactly, yeah.
Go for this one.
One is a very Limerick word, yeah.
Okay. Top runner, let's say. So you're very excited about that. Are there trends in that industry that you're seeing in various jobs?
The healthcare seem to be, you know, find it difficult to find, you know, a lot of staff at the minute, which is obviously a very important industry. So, look, we're doing a lot of work with them. And so far so good. It's been a success. So we'll probably focus on that now over the next few months.
I'd imagine there'll be massive recruitment going on around the Ryder Cup because that's coming to Ireland.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Part of the world, Adair.
Down to Adair, yeah, in 2027. So it'll come around very, very quickly. You know, it's going to be huge for Limerick and for Adair in Ireland in general. Yeah, you've got the numbers coming in from America and all around Europe. But you were so lucky to have it on our doorstep.
And the Americans are so well behaved at Ryder Cups.
Yeah. They weren't overly well behaved this year, but. Geez, no, it's really exciting. You can see in the air now already, there's a lot of stuff going on in preparation for it.
Yeah, including a bypass.
Bypass is happening, yeah. They were scouting out fields the other day trying to figure out where to park some helicopters that were coming in and all this kind
really?
Of carried. Yeah.
Never saw helicopters building a bypass before.
I didn't have the issue myself either now trying to park one. But, you know, amazing. Such a different world and something we're all so excited about getting stuck into and hopefully getting involved in it in some way. Would be fantastic.
Oh, so you're not officially connected, but you're only suddenly free, you see, aren't you?
Yeah, suddenly free. So if there's somebody needs me to do anything, I'd be delighted to help.
That's in 2027.
September 27,
that's a huge moment. Especially the bypass, by the way, because you'd spend so long in the traffic in the Derry, your tax residency would be in question, wouldn't it?
you spend a bit of time in traffic, yeah.
All this free time, you're telling us you're not going to be a kind of a loud-mouthed pundit anyway. All the stuff you would have done, you would have restricted yourself, drinking, partying, all that type of thing. But you're a young lad, they don't seem to drink much anymore anyway.
No, it's all coffee and acai bowls.
Protein shakes.
I was before that time. I think I enjoy meeting a few of my friends and, you know, having a bit of a chat over a couple of pints in the corner of a small pub at Christmas time with the fire gone. So
never went mad.
That. Oh, we went mad plenty of times to the All-Irelands with great homecomings. It was great old fun. So, you know, plenty of time for that anyway.
What about coaching and management? I mean, you're absolutely made for this.
I wouldn't say that, no. I was helping my brother out at the camp last year and a few weeks ago, and I don't think the kids were overly enamoured with my coaching style or the drills they were being asked to do. So, look, I'm kind of looking forward to getting a bit of a break because you're a long time at it now and you're 5 nights a week. So I think a step back from it wouldn't be any harm either. And, you know, maybe in years to come, you might get stuck into a local team or something like that. But
you're
the
recruiter. You're supposed to talk yourself up for these.
Yeah, jobs, no, I'd be trying to talk myself out of jobs sometimes. but no, not at the minute. No, just take a bit of time.
Your focus is on that new business, essentially.
Focus on work, yeah, and I suppose life outside of hurling.
But you're only turning 33, you said, at the start of November.
Yeah, 33 now, the end of this month. So
loads of time.
Loads of time, yeah. We're lucky, I suppose. We're still quite young. We still have a lot of living to do and, you know, looking forward to doing that as well.
Herself, she's in Dublin during the week, isn't she, because of her show?
Yeah, 100% here Monday to Friday.
So you're long distance at the minute?
Yeah, like, I mean, for the last number of years, she's been Monday to Friday in Today FM.
Yeah.
Just can't really promote them too much here on this show. But yeah, it's tough, you know. We've been up and down, especially when you're training. Trying to live between Limerick and Dublin and work between Limerick and Dublin is taxing enough, you know. That road can be quite boring as well if you're driving it 2 or 3 times a week. So, I'll probably be based more so in Dublin from now on. You know, you don't have to.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah, I suppose, look,
just lost the Limerick audience now at the very end.
No, we'll still be Limerick through and through. Like, course, but, you know, life outside changes as you get older as well, and circumstances change. So,
listen, thanks a million for coming in for the chat. There's loads more messages which we'll bring to people after the break. But Declan Hannan, enjoy everything that you do and good luck.
Thank you very much.